Jesus Christ has conquered death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. God's word for our sermon on this Easter Sunday morning is the Holy Gospel for this day from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 9 that were just read unto you earlier. My dear fellow believers in our risen Savior, Jesus, believing something doesn't make it so. Just because you believe something with your whole heart doesn't mean that it's true. As a baseball fan, I can believe with my whole heart that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to win the World Series this year. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Our faith in something is only as good as what we have faith in. The object of our trust is much, much more important than the amount of trust that we have. Fact must always precede faith. This is especially true when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Much more important than how strongly we believe that Christ rose from the dead is the question, is it true? Did it really happen? Is it a fact? Is it truly a historical event? And the resounding answer that God gives us today is this. Yes, absolutely yes. It's all true. And so this Easter morning, let us ask this question as our sermon theme. Can you believe it? And we'll see, first of all, yes. Because it happened. And secondly, yes, because the Word says so. And that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene is the first person to go to the tomb of Jesus. Fact! She finds the tomb empty. So she runs to Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, huh? And she tells them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Fact! Peter and John run to the tomb. Peter goes in first. And what does he find? Fact! He finds strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that has been around Jesus' head, all neatly folded up. John goes in, and what does he find? Fact, the same thing. The body's gone. These are all facts. These things happened. And that's why we read in our text, John saw and believed. Can you believe it? Oh yes, because it happened. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not some fairy tale, some cartoon, some myth, some fanciful fable made up to make us feel better. The early Christian church didn't conjure up the story of Christ's resurrection because they wanted to embellish their faith. It happened. It's historical truth. We've got historical evidence for this fact that Jesus rose from the dead. More evidence for Jesus' resurrection than tons of other historical things that we know happened. Things like Caesar's invasion of Gaul in 58 BC, or England's defeat of the Spanish Armada in 1588, or America's Declaration of Independence in 1776. See, according to the standards that are established for verifying history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is beyond question. Let's consider the evidence. We have written eyewitness testimonies of people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Not one witness, not two witnesses, not 10 witnesses, not dozens of witnesses, but hundreds of witnesses. They ate with Jesus. They drank with him. They touched him. They listened to him speak. These people wrote letters and other documents stating he had risen from the dead. And they sent these documents all over the Roman Empire of their day. The enemies of Jesus and all those who hated his disciples could very easily have disproved Jesus' resurrection from the dead right away. All they had to do was to dig up the body. All they had to do was to put the body of Jesus on display, and that would have shattered the Christian church. They didn't do it because there was no body. He wasn't dead. He was alive. As someone once said, this dog doesn't bark. One of the witnesses of Jesus' resurrection was a man named Luke, a Gentile doctor and an excellent historian. Luke was a man of letters, very educated, a person who documented everything. He crossed every T and he dotted every I. When he wrote his gospel, he put down dates, names of rulers, and he documented events. He corroborated everything that happened there in his book. And yet, he ended his account of Jesus' life with the words of the angel, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Luke says it happened. These people who saw the risen Jesus, they gave the rest of their lives to telling other people it was so. This was their theme. This was their saying. This was their mantra. This was their slogan. People of God, say it with me. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. All of the 12 apostles, except John, died a martyr's death because they believed that Jesus had physically and bodily risen from the dead. Why would they do that for a lie? Paul had his head cut off by Nero. Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was supposedly skinned alive. Why would these people willingly and joyfully suffer that if Christ hadn't risen from the dead? How do you explain the fact that Jewish people who love their Sabbath day, that's Saturday, and they made the Sabbath day the center of their worship life, all of a sudden and immediately changed to Sunday as their day of worship? It's because Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday. And so every Sunday for them was now the Lord's Day. It was an Easter. And it has been that way for us believers for over 2,000 years. How do you explain that a man like Paul, a zealous Jewish Pharisee, a hater of Christ, a killer of Christians, all of a sudden becomes a Christian himself and a defender of the faith? How do you explain that? There's only one explanation. Jesus Christ was alive. Christ had converted him on that road to Damascus. He had met the living Jesus. And what about the existence of the Christian church? How's that for evidence for Christ's resurrection? for 300 years after Jesus died, the Christian church was persecuted. Many Christians lost their property. Families disowned them. Some were thrown to the lions in Rome. Others were sawed in half. Many were tortured and abused, and yet the church, through all of this, continued to grow and spread until finally the Emperor Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. How do you explain all of this other than to say, it must have happened because Christ rose from the dead? People don't die for cartoons and fairy tales and myths. Jesus once told his disciples, "Believe me after I rise from the dead." What other figure in history ever said something like that? Think about that for a moment. What other person in all of history ever said something like this? "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." What other person in history ever staked his whole life, his entire reputation, all of his achievements, all of his accomplishments in life, on the promise that he would come back to life after dying? Again, only Jesus. Because it happened. Only biased unbelief tries to explain away the resurrection of Jesus. Only biased unbelief would try to invent a story that the disciples stole his body and then proceeded to die for a lie. Only biased unbelief would say that Jesus just sort of passed out on the cross and then he was resuscitated after they put him into the grave. You've got to be kidding. I mean, if the Romans knew how to do anything, it was to make sure that you were dead. Only biased unbelief would say, Jesus had a twin brother who doubled for him after Easter Sunday. Only biased unbelief would say that there was a mass hypnosis of all the people, that they just imagined that he had risen from the dead. Only biased unbelief would say this was all, the resurrection, a huge conspiracy developed by the early Christian church, sort of like an urban legend that the Christians developed so that they could have their power, right, and control their people. These attempts to describe or to explain away the resurrection of Jesus, they would be laughable if they weren't so tragic. But we must understand why biased unbelief tries to do all this. Why biased unbelief tries to deny the resurrection of Jesus. It's because unbelievers have a pony in this race. And if Jesus has risen from the dead, their pony has finished last and they have lost it all. For if Jesus truly is risen from the dead, then our lives have to be different. Then the sin that we do daily must be something that we hate. Then the evil that we see in our lives must be something we fight and repudiate. Then Jesus and his work must be my only righteousness before God, and I must live for him who died for me. You see, if Christ is alive, then there's no reason to live like an unbeliever. And that's why biased unbelief says, get that risen Christ stuff out of here. For biased unbelief has an agenda. And we must be aware of that agenda in the unbelieving world around us and in the unbelieving world inside our own hearts. Can you believe it? Oh, yes, because it happened. But there's an even greater reason why we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's there in our scripture text. It's there in the last verse, verse 9, the one that's in parentheses there, that says, they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Yes, you can believe it, because the word says so. Oh, there are some things in life that we don't need the word of God in order to know about them. We don't need to have the word of God to know about death. We're all dying, every one of us daily, and there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, the years slip by quickly, and the next thing you know, your life is coming to an end. And every news report, every headline, every funeral makes us aware of death's certainty. And worst of all, deep down inside us, we know why we die. It's our own fault. You see, death is not something nearly so much to fear as it is something to be ashamed of. Our natural knowledge of God and our tuned-in conscience scream at us that we are not measuring up to what we should be. And try as we may to live in denial, denial just ain't a river in Egypt, it's in our lives daily, right? We tell ourselves how good we are and what fine people we've become, but deep down we know that we are whistling in the cemetery with such deceptive thinking. So we don't need the word of God to know about sin and death, but we do need the word of God to know about life, to know about the solution to the problem. Because if God was going to conquer our sin and death problem through a champion for the human race, he would have to tell us about him. He would have to reveal the Savior's resurrection. We couldn't have figured that out on our own. God himself would have to speak to us about it. And he has. Already in the Old Testament, God told his people he would raise the snake killer from the dead. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. King David wrote these words 1,000 years before Jesus lived. God, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known unto me the paths of life. That same King David, speaking in Psalm 22 for the Messiah, after he was crucified, said, I will declare you, O Lord, to my brothers. And Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, said, after the suffering of his soul, Messiah will see the light of life and be satisfied. You know, the disciples were all surprised when Jesus rose from the dead. They shouldn't have been. The Hebrew scriptures had predicted it. Plus, on top of that, we have the New Testament scriptures that tell us Jesus rose from the dead. We have all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, end their story of Jesus' life and death with his resurrection from the dead. Luke, the writer of Acts, begins his history of the early Christian church with the risen Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in all of his letters, refers again and again and again to the resurrection. Peter, James, John, they all emphasize Jesus is alive. The very last book of the Bible, also the last one written, the book of Revelation, it is full of direct words. If you have a red letter edition of your Bible, they're all in red, right? From this living Jesus to his people. Can you believe it? Oh, yes, because the Word says so. Why the emphasis on the Word for Easter? It's because then we have a sure and certain thing to believe. For if Jesus is alive right now, then everything he ever said is true and trustworthy. Then when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no man comes unto the Father except through me, we have something to stand up for in this world. Then when Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then we have a sure and certain Savior for our guilty conscience. Then when Jesus says through the Apostle Paul, all things work together for good to them that love God, we have something concrete to hang on to when we lose our job, when we break our leg, when we have problems at school, when we find out we have cancer, when our spouse abandons us, when our family members dump on us, or when some other tragedy strikes us. Can you believe it? Oh, yes, because the Word says so. And especially remember Jesus' words when the issue is death itself. Either your own death or the death of someone you love. Then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. See, that's a promise from Jesus to hang on to through our tears at the wake and the funeral and the graveside. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you can believe that you will see your husband or your wife again in glory. You can believe you'll be reunited with your father or your mother or your son or your daughter in heaven. You can believe that you will laugh again and rejoice with your brother or your sister who went on to Jesus before you. You can believe that you'll see your Jesus again and all of his people in all of his glory at God's right hand. Oh, the Word says that Jesus lives. Can you believe it? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Believe it with your whole heart. Amen.